السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise and glory be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, nourisher, sustainer, provider, protector and control of every single thing exists. Peace and salutation be upon our beloved master Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, companions, upon every brothers and sisters who following the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected brothers, sisters in Islam, it is a blessing and tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to fast for last 19 days, alhamdulillah, and then we are now entering the last 10 days and last few nights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our siyam and qiyam and then make all of us reach the night of Laylatul Qadr in the remaining nights, inshallah. My dear respected brothers, we are going through the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in this world. Allah have created a system that if we actually protect and if we interact with that system and the ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us, and through that we will be happy in this world as well as successful in hereafter as well. Amongst the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has blessed us with family members, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with parents, children, siblings, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with our extended family. This is a foundation of life in this world. As long as we appreciate this, alhamdulillah, our life in this world is going to be happy and there are going to be contentment. And then there will be challenges, but in every moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us contentment and satisfaction in everything that we do. And my respected brothers, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have taught us to ask a beautiful dua with regard to our family. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ عَيْنٍ. O Allah, grant us. This is Allah has to grant. It's a hibah, gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, blessed us min azwajina wa dhurriyatina, from our spouses and from our progeny, that is our children and our spouses, qurrata ayun, coolness of our eyes. That means give us contentment, ya Allah. You see how the coolness of eyes comes. You work hard and they grow big and the children are doing successful, alhamdulillah. They are praying in the community, someone is coming and talking to you, you hear someone is making dua for your son or daughter, or you see your children growing big and they're having beautiful children and grandchildren, what does it give you? It gives you coolness of your eyes, qurrata ayun. The satisfactory that you're going to see at that moment, you cannot explain, you cannot express, and in this world, no wealth can buy that. No one can have it on their own. Like certain things, okay, this is my career, so we have a plan. Okay, in the career we have a plan, I do my bachelor's, I do my master's, I do my PhD, then I achieve that and I do this. Sometime you can get there. But when it comes to happiness in family, contentment in family, and seeing our children and grandchildren are successful in this world, Allahu Akbar, that we cannot plan and we cannot do effort on our own and achieve that. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to bless that. But Allah has commanded us to, for us to do what is in our capacity. Nuh alayhi salam, how much? 950 years. He didn't live 60 years. He lived almost closer to 1000 years. Some say he lived even more than that. His mission of da'wah was 950 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran. He says, I invited my people day and night, da'awtu qawmi layla wa nahara. فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَاءِ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. In my invitation, nothing but, what? Nothing but, they were like, you know, dispatching from me. They were going away from me. I only got the response, but they were rejection, nothing else. Nothing but rejection. And they were not ready to listen to me. Amongst his community, even his own children, his own family members. His own family members didn't. So as Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to amongst the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two prophets alone without mentioning their family. Inna Allah astafa Adama wa Nuha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I chose Adam alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam. Allah doesn't mention about the family. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about Ala Ibrahim wa Ala Imran, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Imran, Allah mentioned, I chose the family of Imran and family of Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should accept our entire family, inshallah. Allah should grant us, our children, our progeny, all of them hidayah, and through that, the coolness of our eyes. And my respected brothers, our dua and our effort has to remain as continuously, whatever happened, whether we get a successful response or not, until end, we have to go on doing that. Nuh alayhi salam went on till end. Even he made istighfar for his son and his family. In the end, he said, Wallah, inna bani min ahli. He said, my son belongs to my family, Allah. Inna bani min ahli wa inna wa'adaka al-haq. And your promise is that you will protect my family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the promise of people, right? Those who live with iman and their progeny continue with the iman. Allah's wa'ada is Allah will protect them and Allah will give them back. When Musa alayhi salam, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell Musa alayhi salam's mother? Inna la radduhu ilayk. We will return him back to you. So you have option. You can keep and, you know, take care of the child, or you can let the child go in the river. But definitely, whatever you do, we're going to give it back to you. I will protect. This is the wa'ada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All prophets were given this wa'ada, and Allah is giving for all believers as well that wa'ada. Our children and our progeny, as long as only one condition Allah is requesting from us, is only one qualification, iman, that's it. But that's not easy, you know. It's a mission on its own, it's an effort on its own, and it has to continue. Only that. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعْمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that. وَعْمِلُوا. Those who have iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them. Their ذُرِّيَّة أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Their progeny, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give back. But when it comes to Nuh alayhi salam, when he is told Allah, Wallah, my son is part of my family. إِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقِّ. And your wa'da is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got angry, said, Innahu laysa min ahlik. Allah, may Allah protect us from this type of condition. Innahu laysa min ahlik. Allah is saying, he doesn't belong to your family. He doesn't belong to your family. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. His actions are not action of a righteous person. Allah Akbar. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him not to make istighfar or dua for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that condition. We must be able to make dua continuously for our children. Right? Likewise, our children must be able to make dua for us. So my respected brothers, prioritizing family is very, very important. Prioritizing, establishing a family is very, very important. We live in this era, in the 21st century. The world is forcing us not to have a family, or if we have a family, even you have a very small family, nuclear family, this one, you and two, and that's it. But sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have more children as much as possible. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why you have more children? You must make me proud in day of qiyamah. Inni mukathirum bikumul umama yawm al qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. Amongst the ummah, my ummah should be in big in number, that I want to be proud of my ummah. Allahu Akbar. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged, when you're getting married, get married with that intention. تَزَوَّجُ الْوَلُودَ الْوَدُودِ. Get married to someone who can give birth. You know, that's very important. That is a reason it's encouraged to give girls and boys in marriage early. Because, you know, scientifically, once they pass 38, 40, it's very risky to have children. So, 20s and maybe till mid-30s maximum, that is the most healthiest period. Most healthiest period for a girl, you know, for a sister, to woman to give birth. But once it passed 38 and 40, it's risky, but some people can do it, but it's risky. Health-wise, doctors will say, don't take that chance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given us a system where we need to encourage. And my respected brothers, while doing that, there is two sides of it. Right? Two sides of it. By extreme of both sides. One side extreme, we confine them only for that. Say, yo, your work is just giving birth and having children, nothing else. You don't have anything else. You don't go, no, that's not that also. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had everything in balance. Everything in balance. So only time you can have a family planning is based on just to maintain mother's health and make sure that children are, you know, taken care well. Other than that, no other niyyah. In no other niyyah you can do that. And that also temporary contraceptive method have been encouraged. Nothing else. Temporary methods. Contraceptive methods, which is temperate method. In time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahabas came and asked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about azil. This is in fuqaha, speaks very openly. Our Islam is so beautiful. Everything is very clear. There's nothing hidden. So my respected brothers, let us try. And when it comes to our children, that is our one of our final duties, that we find, you know, suitable spouses for them. Or we teach them, we educate them, we encourage them to find, you know, life partners for right reason, not for wrong reason. Some of our boys, they have a huge imagination when they are looking for, you know, wives. Their list and imagination, they need to get a girl from heaven. Right? They forget that we are living in this world and we are human. They forget that. You're never gonna get a perfect person. Right? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are not perfect, so we need a partner that we both together as a couple, as partners, as spouse. That's why I say a person's iman, half of iman is completed when he get married. Why? There is a stability comes in his mind, in his thinking and everything. There is a stability comes in. So that we are not complete, we need a partner to complete at least one half of the iman. Get married, one half is completed, the rest of the half, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي نِسْفِ الْبَاقِي, fear Allah in the remaining half. You get married, one half is completed, alhamdulillah. Right? So we have to work on the next half. Then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي نِسْفِ الْبَاقِي, fear Allah in the remaining half. Sometimes we have our sisters also, so fussy. They have so many. They're looking at these, all these videos and that and this. Then they say, okay, this guy must be like this. He has to be that. He has to have that. This job, security, everything. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You're going to get late. Delay. So we need to see if we can find goodness, if we can find good character. Their background is good. Very important. Certain things you have to look. You just don't go and pick a partner in the street, brothers. You don't do that because it's a marriage. That's why you have to see you are choosing a mother and you're choosing a father, and that is a foundation of family, and then from there only everything comes up. You're choosing a grandfather also. Just imagine if you choose a person who is not good in character, it's going to be trouble. So character is very important, and background. When it comes to background, what do we look in background? My respected brother, that family in DNA itself, they should have some type of respect and modest. Remember, a person, human being, what is different between us and animal is what? Haya. Animals doesn't have haya. Right? When it comes to haya, it's not only clothing. Clothing, yes, very important. Why we dress? I dress up here nice, you know, alhamdulillah, I want to be respectful. We do that because we are human beings, we are respectful. You need to look into that. Respect is very, very important. Self-respect, they need to have self-respect. Self-respect means they respect themselves first. Because why do I wear? Because I respect myself. I am not wearing to show others. Sometimes people, not to impress others. I'm wearing to respect myself, the clothing. So the within their family itself, family background should be not based on wealth or not based on any other, you know, name or fame. You can see they have simple family, but very respectful family. You see that? Respectful. Respect even in the language they use. Remember, my dear friend, that's in marriage, that matters a lot. If you get a partner from a family, they use a lot of foul words. You know, foul words, dirty words just comes up. It doesn't come just, it comes through environment. Children picks up from parents, their uncles, their neighbors. They're always very rough and vulgar. May Allah protect us from that type of condition. It's very difficult. In family life, it's going to be, it can be a boy or a girl, husband or wife. If your words are not going to be nice, you can always talk in nice, respectful. Your respect, you actually, when you talk, you choose the best of word, not because you respect that person. First, you respect yourself. From your mouth, it shouldn't come any dirty or ugly or any vulgar language shouldn't come out of your mouth. But choose the best of word to respond. Even in the moment when you're angry, remember, even you are angry, you must try to choose the best of words. So that comes with respect. That comes with respect. First, you respect yourself and respect others. So these are the criteria you need to look into. The rest, their family, when it comes to who are they, and then, you know, the wealth and degree and all that, yes, if comes addition. But foundation is their deen. And see whether they respect the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether they prioritize salah. Very important is salah. Basic. 5 times salah is at that house. People are having that importance for salah. Alhamdulillah. Then is the house of deen. Prioritize mother, you know, father, brothers, siblings. They are prioritizing salah. Allahu Akbar. We need to say, okay, prioritizing salah is very important because that is the foundation. As-salatu imaduddin, it is a foundation of deen. If they have salah, all the rest of the bad characters all will go away. Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Any shameful and bad acts will go away. So, my respected brothers, end of the day, these are things that we need to look for. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged. And then, once we get married, we all know family life is challenging. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously help and assistance to put up with it and go on. And very important family life is maintaining patience and maintaining your anger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives one of the characteristics of the muttaqeen. We fast in order to obtain taqwa, and one of the characteristics of taqwa, كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. They will control their anger and forgive people. Allah, may Allah make all of us in family life to be success. We need to have these two characters. You get angry, human being, because emotional attachment, so many other things comes in, you get angry. With anger, you don't act. With anger, you don't respond. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And forgiving. We forgive everyone. Allah wants us to forgive everybody. Then what about our spouses? We need to forgive them. Even you are upset, we need to forgive them. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have so many incidents with his spouses. Once he was angry, he did not visit them for a longer period. Closer to a month. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses. Because, you know, then Islam was growing stronger and stronger. Then Ghanima was coming up. And it was distributed to all the sahabas. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives, they also thought, you know, we also have a share. Of course they have a share. But Allah and Allah's Rasul said their standard of expectation is very high. Allah expect them. Allah has given them such honor. So their focus should not go towards, they get what their portion is. But the focus shouldn't go towards the materialistic world. When it went in there, immediately Allah revealed the Quran verses and gave them an option. You have only two options. If you want Allah and Allah's Rasul, then you need to ignore this. The worldly matters, you ignore what is written for you, get it. If you want the worldly matters and enjoyment, come, we will give it to you, but you will not get Allah's Rasul. You cannot be the wife of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Ummahatul Mu'mineen, they were pious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them. They are one of the best people in the world. That's why we call them mothers of the believers. Of course, they are human, little bit here and there, but they immediately accepted, say, Allah, or Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we are pleased with whatever you are giving us. We are pleased with that. We're going to manage and go on. Another thing, my respected brothers, in family or anything, we are unhappy because this, I spoke about this, but this happened. Don't compare you with another people. This will happen. Sometimes our sisters do that. They talk about it, they do this, buying that, going there. No. Many a time we are in trouble and difficult because we compare. We compare our children with neighbor's children. We compare our family with another family. Don't compare at all, because each and every one of us have come to this world with our own taqdeer, with our own decree. With our own decree. We are unique. We should not compare. So my respected brothers, family life is the ibadah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once a sahabi came and said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. You spend your time with your spouse happily, you know, your happiness with your family, at that moment it is sadaqah. Sahabas was amazed. Say, Ya Rasulullah, how can it be sadaqah? You know, we are going, we are actually fulfilling our physical needs. It is our need. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you do that in haram way, you're going to get punishment. So Allah is rewarding you, you do it in halal way here. You do it in halal way. So this is something very, very important. We need to try and look into this and see, emphasize, prioritize. Comes if our after Allah, Allah's Rasul, the Deen, our parents, and then our family. This comes as our priority list. See, keep the priority list always. Keep the priority, see, okay, whether I am okay with these things. And family ties, very, very important. When it comes to Silatul Rahim, it is not only your immediate family. Your maternal and paternal, all your aunt and uncles, they are included in this Silatul Rahim. Maternal and paternal, aunt and uncles, all are included in that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to maintain a relationship with them, good relationship with them. And Silatul Rahim, it's going to be under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Quran. If we have maintained a good relationship here, inshallah, in day of Qiyamah, Silatul Rahim will speak on behalf of us. Family ties, family bond. If we have neglected that, my respected brothers, in day of Qiyamah, we're going to be in trouble. So it's something very, very important. And we are actually entering the last 10 nights. Our du'as to be accepted. We should not hurt our parents. We need to now call them, you know, or we can visit them. If they are not alive, make dua for them. You know, very important. We need to get their dua before we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They need to forgive us. Likewise, we need to maintain a good relationship with our family members, siblings, aunt, uncles from father's side, mother's side. It is equally we need to maintain. There is no ups and downs for us. Even mother's side and father's side. Sometimes in some family, they have a discrimination. They say, okay, they treat the mother's side in a one way and the father's side in another way. No, we have to treat them, all of them, with respect and love. They all carry our DNA is developed through that both that, you know, side. It is our DNA is developed through that, right? So we need to respect them. And if our parents are not around, the way that we can do right, one is making dua, sending salawat upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and maintaining relationship with those who they maintain good relationship. It can be their friends, their extended families. We maintain good relationship with them. Through that, immediately, what? When you go and visit them, they will remember your father or mother. First, they're not going to say, oh, they will say, so and so's son came to me. And then they first make dua for your father. First they will make dua for your mother. Because your relationship to them is through your mother and father. Remember that. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to respect and maintain those things. And it is a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say a social network. You know, people say you have a social network. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has naturally have created that family. It's a network. It's a safety network Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created for us. For our emotional, psychological, and you know, spiritual, all this need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created a family for us. So we need to have one another, take care of one another, look after one another. It's ibadah, it's deen. So it is our duty to do that. My respected brothers, the rest what's the other very important things comes after family is our neighbors and our colleagues and people who are working with us. This is another topic on its own that comes with akhlaq. How do we react with them? We went through with our parents, children and all that. So our neighbors, they play a big role in our life. Sometime before the family, neighbor is there. And Quran mentioned about that. وَجَارِبِ الْجَارِزِ الْجُنُبِ Quran mentioned about jar. Quran mentioned about the jar. And they go extend and going, ulama says, Quran mentioned about jar, it's your people of your neighborhood, entire neighborhood. When it comes to jar, your neighborhood, it says from your house, 40 this way, 40 left, right, front and behind. So it's a huge area you have to be covered. But comes from, you know, priority, you know, closest to the furthest place it comes in. So neighbors, my respected brothers, you get different type of neighbors. Muslims, non-Muslims, right? People who are good, people who are bad, all different type of neighbors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us with that, right? Certain neighborhood, yes, if it is the neighborhood is threatening your iman, that if the neighborhood is threatening iman of your children, if the neighborhood is threatening your akhlaq and akhlaq of your children, Quran and Islam says you need to move out from that neighborhood. You need to move out. Hijra comes. Hijra means not leaving one country. You, from the place where you go. You go for a reason that you look for a better environment. An environment where your iman will be protected. Environment where your akhlaq, character will be protected. Because sometimes the neighborhood is so bad, vulgar, you can't bring up children. You cannot live there. Automatically you have to behave like them. If not, you cannot survive there. So if you're strong enough, you must be able to do da'wah to the neighbors and change them. Sometimes that force is not strong. We are alone. Right? Protecting our iman and protecting their iman becomes very challenging. Then we need to move into an environment where our iman and our akhlaq will be protected. But remaining, while you are in that neighborhood, you have certain important duties. One is that you need to make sure within your neighbor, no one starves. It's a difficult task. To spend a night without food, in hunger. Does it run in our mind? Allahu Akbar. It doesn't run. When we come to Isha Salah or Maghrib Salah to Masjid, before when you're going, you need to think. We don't know. But you need to have something and carry and go and tell neighbors you have food. You know, food. That's very, very important. Because there's a hadith of sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if in a neighborhood one person spends the night in hunger, the entire neighborhood is out of the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes in these countries, we don't really face these type of issues because there is a government grants are there, they've been assisted, helped, there are a lot of welfare things happening, but sometimes you can still, but we need to have that concern because it's our duty to have that concern. You need to just inquire a bit and see what's happening. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us. We cannot feed everybody and we cannot call all 40 houses around. Ah, did you eat tonight? No, you cannot do that. But you need to have concern and you need to see if anybody is there, ya Allah, you bring that to my notice, I'll feed them. I'll give them something. Just to keep their stomach. You know, it's not, you give millions. Maybe it's not going to cost you $5. Just to get them a meal. And then the children, so first is this hunger. Second is the children growing in neighborhood. You need to have a love for the children the way you love your own children. Because if that children are good, their influence is going to be good for your children. Remember that. It's like we can't ignore. We are interconnected. After feeding neighborhood, this is the second immediate duty, the children in the neighborhood. They come, sometimes we don't care, oh, no worries. But here we have a big challenge. We go back home, every neighborhood, it's like almost a family. They know the generation after generation, they know who are the family. When you see a child, you know, oh, this one's grandpa's child and all this. But here we don't know. Today you get a new guy coming from somewhere and tomorrow there's another person is coming and going. It's challenging. But when you see a childish child, they are innocent. Below 12, they are innocent. We need to love them. We need to make dua for them. We need to help them, whatever we can. When we see there is some disturb, we need to, you know, see. But you all should know the law as well. You know, because you love the child, you can't, you know, back home, anyone, parents won't worry when a child is doing something wrong. You hammer the child, nobody, the parents will come and thank you. But here you hammer the child, you end up in behind the bar. So you should know how you play your this thing. But you need to talk to them. Kindness, gifting, you know, you see them, you're coming, you have sweets. You give them sweets, these children get, you know, connected to you. So this comes as a second duty towards your neighbors. Right? The ulama karam explains, first duty comes on before hunger. I'm just in general, I'm saying the first duty is supposed to invite them towards Islam. That's the first one. Because if they don't have Iman and Islam and we don't introduce Islam to them, tomorrow your neighbor is going to be, Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect, in wrong place. And how they live with you for 20 years and you didn't tell about Islam. So we have a duty of conveying the message of Islam. And good things, if they are Muslim, anything knowledgeable, anything, you know, khair, any knowledge you have, sharing with them. How food, sharing food is important. Similarly, sharing knowledge with them is also your duty. If you're a knowledgeable person, it has to, you know, benefit the neighbors. If you can read Quran, it should benefit the neighbors. Your Quran must benefit your family and your neighbors. If Allah has given you wealth, that wealth must benefit you, your family and the neighbors. In Shafi Madhab, the zakah, you cannot take the zakah out of the place where you live. You cannot take your zakah and pay in India or Pakistan, Bangladesh. No, you need to pay zakah where you earn in your neighborhood. The reason why? They see your success. And there is, whether you like it or not, there is somewhat of a contribution towards that, direct or indirect. But in other madhahib, no, you can give zakah any way even you want. Because based on one hadith, when Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anh went to Yemen, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ فُقَرَائِهِمْ. You take the zakah from their rich and you give for the poor of that place. So based on that hadith, Imam Shafi rahimullah said, you cannot take that. But nowadays the amal, the practice is not in that, because it's not practical, because zakah has to be given priority and majority of ulama scholar. You cannot give it to non-Muslim. You have to give it to Muslim. Zakah has to be given to Muslim. So based on that, it's not practical. But what I'm trying to say here is, apart from zakah, you have other money with you. You need to take care of the neighbor. So your knowledge has to benefit. Your Quran must benefit. Your wealth, it has to benefit your neighbor. So my respected brothers, but you know, it all, Allah knows our limitation. It is not we go out of the way and we neglect our family, neglect our part. No, while we are doing that, we need to have that concern and go. You know, I can remember, there was a young man, I always used to say in the youth program, I conclude with that. He used to, you know, he from a very poor family, but he studied hard. He went to university, but he come back to his hometown every time. What he does, he used to gather students from, you know, young students, and he used to teach them for free, give them tuition for free. Right? So he used to always say, you know, as you know, I am the second or first person to go to university from my family, so I want to share that ni'mah with my neighbors, children from my village. So if now back home in Sri Lanka, a lot of parents spend lots of money for extra classes. It's not free. Everybody make for maths class, per hour they pay about 2,000 rupees, just 1 hour. That is the cheapest. You get, you know, when you get the smarter one, the popular teacher, price is more. So the poor parents are unable to send their children for this education. Right? So what he used to do, he used to come. He doesn't have money. But whenever in the vacation he used to come back, he teach them free. Allahu Akbar. So if we have knowledge, we need to teach. If you know youngsters in your neighborhood, you know, you get them all, have a career counseling. Tell them, you know, there is so many opportunity. You can go into IT, you can do this, you can do this. They are lost. So we have a duty towards our neighbors as well, my dear brothers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us, inshallah. We'll continue with discussion, our duty towards the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing in this world. Wa akhir da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.